Pittsburgh, right?
No, I am from New England.
Oh.
Grew up in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, and have strong ties to New England still. But because of things that happen in your life, you know, you move and you travel. So Pittsburgh, I wound up in like 20 years ago.
Okay.
So it worked out to be affordable and a pretty cool at that time. Because of Carnegie Mellon, there was a lot of cool people, like Telecor and Filet of Feedback and Minozin V and the P Children, who were also coming into doing a little bit of noise in the area. So it was a good place to settle, actually.
I actually lived in Pittsburgh for about a year and a half, a couple months ago.
Did you? How'd you like it? Near the college?
Actually, it's right downtown.
Oh, downtown?
Yeah.
Like your Liberty Avenue?
Yep. Like
Pegasus right and Liberty. Yeah.
Penn, between Liberty and Penn.
Oh, that's awesome. Sunday night dancing on Liberty Ave. I used to go under to cruise the trannies myself.
For people who missed it, can you give a description of your thoughts on last night's performance?
Man.
What happened?
Throbbing, sweaty, bloody, flesh-cut mayhem that, you know, we go with the flow. You know, we don't get anal and say, oh, well, you know, it ruined our set. And we get, no, we're like, we had planned a little more sex. We planned a little more controlled sound and a little more playing off each other, a little call and respond like with our sounds. But you know what? It turned into a big bloody mess. And, you know, and it pumped me with adrenaline. And I watched the French college students all yesterday afternoon rioting and setting everything on fire. And I just channeled all that energy and said, hey, we're doing this for the French students, man. Let's do it.
No regrets.
No regrets. And those Texas guys that came up on stage with the big, fat, flabby asses, if we ever see them again, they're going to get tossed off the stage again. All right? All's fair in love and knowing.
Was this the first time that you've ever performed with Roger, Stella, and with Tim Olivero?
Well, Roger and I have probably done like 15 shows together. This was the very first time I've ever met Tim ever. We've collaborated for about 7 to 8 years. But never, ever have met in person.
How do you choose your collaborators?
Purely on talent and sound sources. I mean, with Tim, we didn't have to necessarily be hangout buddies because when Roger left the band 10 years ago, I was in the middle of putting together about 4 projects, and I like working with other people's source material as well as my own just to give me that much more variety when I edit. So at the time I was doing the Melting Softly LP, I had an original rough cut of that, but then Molest and K2 sent me some sounds to work with, so I made a new edit and reincorporated that, and that's how we finalized that album. Tim gave me some sounds for the K2 album.
Nice.
And we did some mixing together of I did some of his track mixing together, and we were involved in that, you know, self-abuse serial killer project, and we're working on our own pieces for that. So, you know, mindset where we enjoy each other's sounds. He's a mellow guy to work with. He and I fed off each other's creativity, and we're both Latin, kind of, so we had that, you know, I'm part Latin, he's Alvera, he's part Latin and Portuguese, so we kind of, like, you know, had that kind of bond, so.
The cool. Latin sound.
Yeah, Latin noise, you know, the Latin noise, what would you call it, macho energy or something, you know. Because we're organic, I mean, we're not totally knob twirlers, we like to put the physical into it, too, so.
So how long have you been performing live as Macro Nympha?
As Macro since 1991, 15 years.
What has been like the most energetic performance? Like, what's been the most interesting? Can you give us a description?
Well, we've kind of gone through 2 phases, because back in the early days when we were doing it in 91 to 94, we used to have these big shows in Pittsburgh at a place called the Beehive. Big stage, great place. We had tons of metal. I mean, you thought we had metal last night. We had a whole room full of metal. Big boilers and tin drums. And so we had a guy with a garbage truck that ran a salvage yard. He would come pick up all our stuff at my house, take it to the show at the Beehive, and come back. And that was extreme. And, you know, we're talking about breaking walls and holes in floors and light fixtures coming down and the whole building shaking. So that was, like, probably the most extreme. But this new era, since we've been doing it together, we got better equipment now.
Yeah.
Probably better looking now. You know, we actually have cars that make it to gigs. So this whole new thing now, I have to say, Chicago and New York I like equally. Chicago I like for the sound. I mean, you can't get better than that empty bottle PA system. That empty, that is the best. That guy knows his stuff. 12 monitors on the stage, and I mean, the sound is perfection.
Yeah.
So that was sound, but not as much energy, although that was pretty energetic. But New York here was just total chaos energy, but the sound wasn't so perfect.
Right.
But who cares? It was like 2 different shows, both I think I love the most.
What's, what do you, how do you get your ideas for the stage show? Like, have there been more involved stage shows before than what happened last night?
You know, I'm a person, I started out as a journalist, so I got my degree in journalism, so I've always been a photographer type chronicler person. Some people mistook our early, like, Pittsburgh LP and thought we were racist, or took our sexual stuff and thought we were sexist, but it was always about journalism, about holding up the picture as a mirror to yourself and having you judge where you're at in your life. So, you know, out of that stuff, the creative process for our live shows is pretty much how I feel at the time. But our overall concepts change with the times. You know, things happen in your life. You feel passionately about certain things. Try to put as much of that true, you know, personal passion into our stuff. But live is like for me. You know, the studio work is for you. I put like 120 cuts on the first 20-minute side of this record. 120 individual edits to make that 120-minute track on this record. That's what I do for the fans. But when I play live, it's for me.
Yeah.
It's how I feel that night, what I want to kick out of myself, the adrenaline I got going. Yesterday just happened to be the French rioting student, so fucking Vive la France!
So if a lot of your noise, like for a lot of people and yourself, is very personal, so where does... Do you have a lot of personal inspiration behind like the what you're documenting? Like,
yeah.
Gore photos and like photographic
materials? Well, Pittsburgh was just pure Pittsburgh. I mean, that was maybe the ninth year I'd been in town, or the eighth year I'd lived there, and I really got to know the lay of the land by then. And it just every day, just walking in and seeing these stupid people that still beat up their girlfriends and talk, you know, shot in a beer, yins, and do this and that. And
people
I'm like,
still get shot downtown.
It's like, exactly, it's a shot in a beer town, you know, and it's like fucked up. So that just made me so angry. I had to like just say, fuck Manny, fuck Pittsburgh, fuck everything. You know, if you're not a Carnegie Mellon, or you're not like involved in the fucking betterment of people's brains and heads, then don't be so goddamn negative and everything's a bad idea. Everything's old fashioned. Everything's changed, you know? So that was that. So I, you know, and the transsexual stuff, I mean, I had an epiphany when I was in my late 20s. You know, was it a biker rally? It was up in Toronto, Canada. Hot little chickie was sucking my cock a couple nights in a row. Turned out the third night, found out that chickie wasn't really a chickie.
Oh,
chickie was a tranny, but she was so fucking hot. So, I mean, what the fuck? I know I'm a man. It felt good. I let her suck my cock again. So, you know, I have a natural affinity to some trannies. I mean, sometimes I walk by and boom. You know, I can't help it, right? So, I don't care. But that, and then, you know, of course, women. I mean, I've been a pussy hound since I was like 13, you know. Had my first sex when I was like 14, so I started young. And the other stuff, you know, a lot of the violence and the death images and that kind of stuff, it's just like noise war was a reflection of a noise war. It's like people don't know the aftermath of war. Like they see the Iraqi shit, and they're, oh, war, it's a video game. It's like, you know, Resident Evil, you know, with...
Or it's whatever you see on the news.
Exactly, and it's bullshit, man. Look at Al Jazeera. Look at the fucking dead bodies, the melted skulls, the babies' heads that don't have skulls because the skull's 4 miles down the road and you just got a head laying there. I mean, that's what war is. So noise war, we want you to take a look, you know, and that's why we did it that way. So that's where our aesthetic comes from. It's a lot of journalism, a lot of inspiration that what we feel about.
So,
speaking for me anyway, you know.
So, like, when you work on the album stuff, do you normally, what's your process? Do you usually work with, like, just analog gear, or do you do stuff on the computer now?
Did a lot of, mostly all the analog stuff. And I don't do anything on computer now, but I just got a hold of a jam man. And you can take some of the loops and download them on a computer and mess around with them a little bit that way. So I might start doing a little bit of that, but I've never wanted to have the noise perfectly digitally, because I'm not a big digital fan. I mean, if you listen to a noise CD and you listen to a noise album, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
I mean, you just don't get that gut-wrenching, churning, make you want to drop your bowels, low-end subwoofer sound that you can get on a analog recording because of the bleed and because of the signal process. You know, you just don't get that on digital. So it's, you know, so it's not as rough and rumbly and it's not as visceral.
Yeah.
It's nice and pristine and clear, you know, but it doesn't rumble in your guts. So I like the analog, but now I bought a bunch of new equipment since we're going on tour. So, you know, I kind of like got a few new toys and a few new digital things. So
you're planning to go on tour?
Loopers. Yeah, I think next spring we're going to do the one that Ron canceled out on this year. Probably hook up with Miko and go like to Finland, Sweden, maybe Germany or Poland or something, hit some of those Eastern European countries and most of Europe, and then maybe later in the year, next year, Japan. But for now, we're going to like hit the, you know, the no future in North Carolina, and we're going to go up, maybe do a show in Boston, go back up to the Chicago and Detroit area, because those guys up there, they have, all the New Yorkers seem to have moved up into that area. So there's a big community up there, and you can always work in Detroit and Chicago. So it's a good ride from Pittsburgh too. So
yeah,
we're doing a lot of shows like that.
Cool. So this year you're getting ready for tour, and like things have kind of evolved a lot. How did you first start the project?
Oh God, how did we first start the project?
How did you first even get interested in noise? How did you?
Drugs.
Yeah, a lot of drugs for sure. Drugs and just your ear wanting to hear new territories that you have not explored. So me, I was always in bands since I was 17. So when you start out, for me, that was like, you know, late 70s, early 80s. So you're talking about going through like the punk phase, going through the metal phase, going through the grunge phase. Then all of a sudden, like 1984 comes along or so, and I got all this Roland equipment and all these effects boxes. And I'm saying, you know, this shit sounds really good just plugged into itself. Why do I even need to play a song?
Yeah.
Fuck songs.
Yeah.
Fuck words and fuck all that sappy bullshit. Yeah. I want to hear the sounds. Hendrix. That's the, you know, yeah. Hendrix and Pink Floyd and, you know, all the old, you know, Lou Reed and, you know, Metal Machine music and all this stuff. It's like that was such a cool part of my life as a kid, the prog rock thing and the noisy stuff.
Seems like sometimes they were heading in that direction anyways.
Yeah.
You wonder what they'd be doing if they were still around.
You know, it's kind of like the thing where I think all artists that are perceptive, I think, take advantage of the equipment available in their time frame. And for them, that whole synthesizer thing with the ARPs and the Moogs and all that was very influential in how they used the tools to create what they created. And they came out with brilliant stuff. So, you know, I'm doing that, and it's 1984, and I'm looping, and I'm hearing distortion, and I'm liking it, and I'm putting it together and making little tapes here and there. So, you know, another 4 or 5 years go by and just exclusively abandon the band thing. Then I met Roger in 1990. He was like, I think 20, you know, and I was already in my 30 or close to 30. So, you know, it's like he was much younger, but we had a very good collaboration the first time we played. I think the first time we ever played was like we picked up guitars and just sat there and just played, you know. And it's cool to play with somebody that knows what the hell they're doing, because you don't have to say, oh, change chord. We're just like sitting and playing and listening and close our eyes and just like, you know, sit there. And so after getting together that well, he had a lot of little Digitech looping toys. So my distortion toys, his looping toys, we put them together, started recording everything. And then our first tape came out in 91.
Nice.
Was that on Mother Savage?
Yeah, that was our Mother Savage stuff. And it was like after being totally inspired by Incapacitance, being totally inspired by Le Syndicate and Splendor Geometrico, the whole European as opposed to Japanese noise scene hit us first. And then once we got into the Merit Spo and the Incapacitance, then it was just
forget about it,
because that matched our sound so much. We like the European structure, but we like the Japanese power, so we tried to incorporate both in our style.
And you put out a new tape recently for your show in Chicago. Is that considered a Mother Savage release, or is the label inactive?
Yeah, I would consider that, because Ron Lessard from RRR asked me to re-dub up maybe 10 of all my old Mother Savage tapes. So I'm thinking that if I do that and they're listed again in the RRR catalog, then maybe I'll consider the label. But I doubt I'll be doing any new projects except the live show tapes or except small, because right now having Dominic as part of Macronympha, that's a label right there. So I mean, anything we really want released, Dominic could do in Hospital, and we have a lot of Italian labels now, and now that we're back in activity again, a lot of chances to do some good shows, good music. So that's what we're doing. We're just kind of concentrating on recording our asses off. So a follow-up to Pittsburgh, I think.
Yeah. So what about, like, right now, who do you, you know, who are you really enjoying? Like, do you listen to a lot of noise?
I'm getting into the stuff I've been getting. I like, there's a new kid, Nolan, from Cackerlack. Like his stuff a lot. I like all the stuff that I'm hearing with Olsen and his wife, the Dead Machine stuff. I'm liking that a lot. Some of Mike's solo tapes, Connolly's solo tapes are really good. All the Prurient stuff, and mostly everything on Dominic's label. He sent me some incredible stuff. I mean, and having Tim, too, as a partner, too. His Harsh Noise label sending me stuff like Sixes and that. Very great stuff, you know. Our Carolina buddies here, you know, they're are always fun, and I'm a little more leaning toward the machine, mechanical, kind of like the more I would say factory sound noise. So of course I'm always on that side.
What do you say that? What are you really thinking of?
The new Blockaders, Daniel Mensch sound, where it almost sounds very, very like almost like no human touch almost. Although Daniel's very organic, but his sound though is so, it's so precise that it almost fits together like it's not of human hands.
It's a nice juxtaposition.
It is, exactly. It's very, very, very creative. I love Daniel's work. So, but that's, I do like that. I listen to quite a lot of his stuff. I still listen to the old Splendor Geometrico because I don't think any new La Syndicate or new beat stuff. It really captures that raw machine destruction. Yeah. It's more beady and dancey and user-friendly. And, I mean, if you want to do that, you know, go techno.
And
I don't like when the noise good guys cross over into that and then use their name. If you're going to do that, use a side project or admit to the world that you've changed.
Yeah.
You know, but because I would never do that. We have some mechanized beat stuff, but we'll release it as something else probably.
Yes.
Roger will put it out as his own solo project, probably. So.
Yeah, so what solo projects are there with Mechanized?
Still some One Dark Eye, still the quieter, more ambient, thoughtful stuff. That's still our One Dark Eye side project. The OVMN, the Optimum Volume, Maximum Noise. I'll probably do another OVMN release eventually. And those are it right now. I may do a solo thing eventually, but haven't quite decided where I'm going with that. And who knows, you know? There may be two or three new projects, because I think Connolly and me and Roger are going to try to put a guitar group together, kind of like with me doing the Solmania, Roger doing the KK Null, looping and layering, and with Connolly being Connolly with his, you know, thunderous beats. So we'll have Connolly doing his stand-up stuff, Roger doing the layering, and I'll take and do the crazy guitar stuff, but also processed through my new synthesizer some of the guitar sound through the new synth. So I'll be able to do a lot of manipulation with that, and it'll be new for me too, so I'll be making it up as I go along too. So I'm excited about that. I think it's going to be called Parallel Kills. I think it's Herman Hesse. Yeah. So it's probably Parallel Kill. It'll be interesting seeing three guys standing up, guitars, all that noise coming out of that. Yeah. It might be interesting.
Nice.
So.
I guess I just have one more question. If you have anything else, I was just wondering, what do you consider of all time your favorite piece of gear?
Oh, my all-time favorite would have to be the Digitech PDS 8000.
Which is
a looping pedal that Digitech makes that is an 8-second sampler, but also when the thing warms up and you kick it around a little bit, it screams.
Nice.
It screams.
I got one more question. Maybe this is sort of a weird one.
My Sun amp too, by the way. My Sun, 25-year-old Sun Alpha 112 reverb amp that I beat on myself and roll around with on my chest. And that baby, I would probably die if I lost that.
Oh,
so
sure.
Those are my two favorite pieces.
My last one's sort of a weird one. I have a shirt with Nancy Kerrigan with the Mexican amp in it. Logo on the ankle. What's up with that?
Dominic made that. I had no idea. He says, I'm making some macro shirts, and all of a sudden he sends me one, and he expects me to wear Nancy Kerrigan on my chest out in public. And I'm like, well, you know, I did, but then I get it. And I get the whole thing on the ankle, the spirit of the violence, I guess. But, you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, okay.
It's journalism. Yep. Hokey journalism, but it was journalism, and it wasn't mine. So.
Cool, man. Well, thanks a lot for the interview.
You guys are great guys. Hey, thank you for spreading the word around. Really.
Cool. Macroninfo for Blood Ties. All right.